So I want to speak about the mitzvah of Ir Miklat, City of Refuge. And really discuss reasons behind certain halachos that apply to the Ir Miklat, some interesting, unique things that stand out in these halachos. And they appear in Perek Lamed Hei. And it really starts, it's mentioned in Pasuk, Pasuk Vav, really, but it really, there it's more talking about the cities of the Levium, and it happens to mention that it's near Miklat, and then in Pasuk Tes begins the actual Parsha discussing the Ir Miklat in general. I think maybe did Rabbi Grossman speak about, were you at Rabbi Grossman's here on no, okay, he may have spoken about something related to this, but we'll often speak about the same thing. Wonderful, thank you for joining us. So we're going to speak about the Ir Miklat, the City of Refuge. And there's a number of different halachos that have, interesting reasons based on pshat, a simple approach, which I want to talk about. So it says here that in Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yud, and Hashem said to Moshe, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to b'nei Yisrael and say to them, when you pass over the Yarding, then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, decreasem lachem arim arim miklat yana lachem, and you should declare certain cities as Ari Miklat, as cities of refuge. V'nas shama roteach makei nefesh bishgaga. And a roteach, a murderer, who killed someone by accident, so he'll run there for refuge. V'ayu lachem ha'arim l'miklat migal, and they will be as a caption to protect him from the Goel Hadam, the avenger. A family member is allowed to avenge the life of a family member. If somebody kills him by accident, then the family members can go after that guy, and he can run to this place. The Lo Yamus HaRotzeach, and the murderer should not die either way, not by the hands of this Goel Hadam, because he's protecting, and also not by in court, Ad Amdo Lifnei Ha'edon LaMishpat, right, until he stands before the congregation in judgment, until he is properly judged. V'ha'ari Mashir Titeinu, Sheish Ari Miklat Tiyana Lachem. You should have six of these Ari Miklat, of these cities of refuge. Six of them should be across the Jordan. And six of them should be in the land of Canaan. Sorry, thank you. Three. Three in the across the Jordan, and three in the land of Canaan, in Eretz Yisrael. So these are really two of the points that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the concept of Ir Miklat in general. I want to talk about the numbers, the three on each side. And then there's one more thing which we'll touch on, which is appears in Pasuk Chaf, verse 25. It says, Yisivu ha'eda es ha'roteach, and the congregation should save the murderer, Miad Goel Hadam, from the avenger. They shivu oso ha'eda el ir mikoto asher nasama, and they should return him, they should keep him in that city of refuge where he ran to. The yashaba, and he should sit there, and mos ha'kohen ha'godol asher mashach oso b'shem ha'kodesh, until the death of the Kohen Gadol, who was anointed at that time. So, this is an interesting halacha, seems kind of random, that the person, the guy who murdered him by accident, so he remains in the Ir Miklat until such time that the Kohen Gadol dies. And then, he may leave, and also, at that point, the Goel Hadam, the Pasuk is going to go on to explain, is no longer allowed to kill him. And if he does, then he is a murderer. So basically, he is free to go He doesn't need a witness protection program. He can you know, go out with his name clean, and the Goel Hadam, the Avenger, is no longer allowed to take revenge. So that's another question I want to visit: is why, you know, why does he go free at that point? You know, why when the Kohen Gadol dies, what's the significance of that? So as usual, or as is often the case, I want to start with the Sefer Achenuch, where he talks about the reasons behind the mitzvah. So the Chinuch says, so first of all, what is the mitzvah? Just in a general sense, he says there's a mitzvah we're commanded to send this person to the Irmik, what's the city of refuge, that we as a community, the Beis Din perhaps, has a responsibility to ensure that he goes into what we call galus, exile. He's exiled to this city. And, says this the Chinuch, he's part of the mitzvah as well, and he has a mitzvah to go there on his own. So we have to make sure he goes, we have a mitzvah to make sure he goes, and he has a mitzvah to go.
So if he doesn't want to go,
he's going to go? Yes. So, and we might see, you know, why. It's interesting, as we'll see, we refer to this as galus. It's exile, it's a punishment. There is an aspect of punishment, which we'll see in a moment. So the Chinuch says, what are the sharshim, it's what are the roots, what are the reasons of the mitzvah? So he says, because, you know, murder is very chamor, it's very terrible. It's the destruction of the world. And to the point that Chazal say that if a person murders someone on purpose, then even if he does all the mitzvot, he won't be saved from judgment. This, you know, would override even the biggest tzaddik who does every mitzvah, he dives in such kavanah, and he does everything, he learns Torah all day, and biggest tzaddik except for one thing, he killed someone on purpose. You know, that's it for him. He's not going to be saved from judgment. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei that indicates that. He says, therefore, it's fitting that someone who killed, even if it's by accident, but since such a terrible thing came about because of him, so he needs to feel pain over it. And in order for him to feel that pain, we need to send him into galus. We're not going to actually kill him, even though he killed someone. It was an accident, but he killed someone. He took away a life. How could you, you know, even if it was an accident, but he's responsible. And by the way, we're talking about, there has to be some level of negligence. If he's completely onate, you know, totally beyond his control, then he wouldn't go into galus. If it's a shogeg karov l'mezen, meaning it was negligent, but it was almost on purpose. Like, it was, you know, it wasn't first degree murder, you know, like totally intentional, but, you know, but there was some high level of negligence, so he won't be chayav of misa, but he actually won't be able to go to galus either. He won't get that kapara, as we'll see, there's also kapara, there's an atonement of going into galus, he won't get that, but someone who actually kills by accident, but there is some measure of negligence there, so we can't kill him, you know, he didn't murder, but we want him to feel a terrible pain, you know, and says the Chinuch that galus, the tsar of galus, the pain of exile is almost as difficult as the pain of misa, of death, of being killed, because he was separating him from his loved ones, from everyone he knows, he's sent into galus. And that's where he has to live, possibly for the rest of his life, depending on, you know, the Kohen Gadol. So it's a pretty harsh punishment. But at the end of the day, he took away a life through some level of negligence. There is an interesting halacha, which I'm not going to talk about, which is that I don't know exactly how this applies, but halacha is that his Rebbe gets sent into galus with him. Because it says that he'll live there. And you can't live without a Rebbe. So it says he should go there, and he, the chai, he should live there. The Gemara says he can't live without a Rebbe, so his Rebbe goes also. I don't know if there's also some level of responsibility that the Rebbe is taking, because, you know, if his Talmud was responsible for this, maybe we're in some level holding him responsible, although I think the Rebbe, you know, he could go, he could, you know, he probably can, doesn't have to stay there, come and go, I imagine, but...
But that would be a punishment to the Rebbe for no
yeah.
But in theory, then you'd have 1-to-1 ratio of Rebbe to...
Yeah.
Rebbe, not that there could be such a thing, overload.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of Rebbe in there, yeah, here. Yeah.
I guess that's like...
One would have to go.
Right. So that's the first idea of the chinuch, which definitely sounds like he's learning that it is a punishment. It's a punishment built on by accident, so you receive this punishment. He says, furthermore, there's a practical benefit to this for him, because this is going to save him from the Goel Hadam. The Goel Hadam is allowed to kill him. And if he goes there, he's protected. So there's just a very practical reason for this place, which is the place of protection. And as a third to'elet, a third benefit that he adds is that the krovim, the relative of the person who was stricken, who was killed, shouldn't always see the place where this evil was, the place where this happened. I think it's referring to the relatives of the person who was killed. He says the place, but I think he means like they shouldn't have to see the murder. Now I don't know if they're allowed to kill him, then they don't necessarily have to see him. But maybe if they don't intend to kill him, then at least they don't have to see him walking free, which will kind of be difficult for them. They'll have to relive it, and that would be a difficult prospect for them. The Rambam has a similar idea in the Mar Nevochim.
If you
daven, if you say Havdalah, to quiet the soul of the Goel Hadam, that he doesn't have to see the person who did this. It almost sounds like, you know, this is my own interpretation, but that it's less than ideal for the Goel Hadam to actually kill him. He's allowed to. He's totally permitted to. But it's not an ideal situation. It's more like that if he has to, you know, it's almost not fair to him to be able to have to watch this person walk free. So there's two options. We either allow to kill him, we allow him to kill him, which isn't ideal, but to allow him to walk free is a pain for him. So we have this solution, which is don't force him to see the murderer. And, you know, we provide a place for the murderer to go where the family won't have to see him walking free, but they also won't kill him. And then everybody, you know, everybody's happy, but at least they don't have to relive the murder of their loved one, of their family member. Exactly. Out of sight, out of mind. And the Rambam actually ties this idea of the Kohen Gadol into this idea. So why, and, you know, we'll mention other approaches, but why does the murderer now go free when the Kohen Gadol dies? So the Rambam says that the Kohen Gadol is the most honorable person of the nation. And he's beloved to the entire nation. And he says the natural thing is that if a person has a tsar, has a pain, so when he sees someone else going through the same kind of pain, the same experience as he is, he actually is somewhat of a comfort to that person. You know, I'm not alone. There are others who are suffering with me, and we have a concept of, you know, Hashem is Imo Anochi Betzara. You know, I'm with you, I'm with him in a time of difficulty, and we're supposed to emulate that. The Gemara talks about different scenarios where you're supposed to have this. I think they say the Chavetz Chaim during World War I would sleep on the floor sometimes. because of the man in the trenches. It was like an imo anochi b'tzara. You know, he understood the difficulty that they were going, and he was with them in their pain, experiencing it with them. And so the Rambam says that's what's going on here. That when the Kohen Gadol dies, you know, the Gadol Hadar, the leader of the generation, so then everybody is in a state of sadness. And at that time, that's the time where if we let the murderer go free, so the family won't be as pained to see him walking around. It won't bring up as much pain that they lost their family member, because right now everybody, there's a national mourning going on. Everybody's going through a great pain that the Kohen Gadol has died, and there's this Ima Anothi Basar, that everybody's experiencing a difficult time, and that would alleviate their pain. And that's the time that's ideal. Again, I think it works in this framework that it's not ideal for them to kill him. But we can't let him free because it's going to pain them. But at this moment, when it's not going to pain them as much, so now is the time to let him free.
Cover.
Exactly. That is the approach of the Rambam. Just going back to the chinuch for a second. So the chinuch kind of stressed that, you know, murder is the worst. It's the most terrible thing a person could do. At the same time, though, this guy didn't kill Bimezid. It wasn't on purpose. It was Bishogig. It was accidental. It may have been negligent, but it was accidental. So he says, we can't kill him. So Rabbi Amichai explains this idea that, and he says, we see from here, really, how important intent is. That if the intent wasn't there, if he didn't intend to kill the person, then we can't kill him. Even though it's still, you know, some level of murder, but we can't. All mitzvos and all averos, he says, come down to intent. And that's why we can't kill him in this case. And in order to kill someone for a murder, it has to be that both his body and his heart, his intent was there as well. They have to join together, intent and action have to come together. And since they didn't, so he gets galus, he gets exiled, he doesn't get killed. And he says that's true of all mitzvos also. It's totally belayed. It's dependent on the heart, on intent. Of course, the machlokas, do mitzvos require kavana or not? Mitzvos trichos kavana or not? We paskin, mitzvos do require kavana. In order to fulfill a mitzvah, you have to have kavana that you're doing the mitzvah. Often, it could be just based on the setting that we assume that there's a kavana there. You know, if you're standing in shul on Rosh Hashanah, and you're listening to the shofar, then even if you don't have in mind at that moment, it's best to have that in mind. You know, I'm doing the mitzvah. But if you don't, from context, we'll consider it kavana. But you need kavana. And he says if you don't have kavana, l'shem shamayim, you don't get reward. So he kind of flips this, you know, that not see from here how important intent is when it comes to this avera, the murder. If there's no intent there, then it's a lesser, you didn't really murder, and therefore you only get kalos. And he says, and we have to keep that in mind when it comes to mitzvos, that the intent also has to be there. He adds something fascinating, I thought was fascinating. He says that this idea that a person who murders the shogeg gets galus dates back all the way to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, he says. Says Rabbeinu Bechayai that David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Zichor Rachamecha Hashem, Hashem, remember your rachamim, your mercy, v'chasadecha, and your kindness, ki me'olam heima, because they are me'olam, they've always been there from the very beginning. What is the particular kindness and mercy that David HaMelech is referring to? So he says, he may be quoting a medrash here. I think it's a medrash he's quoting. It's medrash Tanchuma. Amar David, Ribono Shel Olam. David said, Master of the world, Rachamecho v'chasidecho hima l'yotzeya. Your mercy and your kindness is upon the murderer, meaning the murderer by accident, that you prepare for them, you provide a city of refuge. Since he didn't kill on purpose, and he shouldn't die, you prepare for a city of refuge in your great mercy. And he says that Rachamim, David HaMelech saying, was Me'olam. It was always there from the beginning, because you did this for Adam HaRishon. Because Adam HaRishon, with the original Chet Adam HaRishon, brought death into the world. There was no death before that first sin. And death was only introduced as a right to, as a result of that. And in a way, he brought about death to everyone. Just like this murderer, this accidental murderer brings about death to one person, Adam HaRishon brought about death for everyone. It was perhaps the shogeg. He didn't intend to bring about death for everyone, but that's what he did. And what was his punishment? Says David HaMelech, Hashem, you had mercy on him, and you didn't kill him. Rather, you just exiled him from Gan Eden. You sent him into exile. He may olam hema, your mercy is there from the very beginning. But it's, to me, a fascinating idea that this mitzvah is, you know, this concept of ir mikvah, of a place of exile for a accidental murderer, is what we see from Adam HaRishon way back. He may olam hema, that chesed was there from the beginning. That Adam HaRishon also, for bringing about a death, or many, for bringing about the concept of death, got galus, was sent into exile. Okay. So, we've seen a couple of ideas mentioned in relation to the basic outline of this mitzvah. We've seen it's a place, it's a punishment. There's also an aspect of, just a practical, you know, place of protection. I mentioned also in passing that it's also a kapara, it's an atonement for the murderer. And that, I think, the Gemara actually refers to it as that. That it's a kapara. And the discipler mentions these different ideas. He speaks out that you have these two ideas working simultaneously. He does not talk about kapara. He just mentions the two ideas of both. It's a place where it's a place where the person is protected, and it's also a place where it's also a punishment. Okay. So, that's the basic outline of the mitzvah. Now let's get to some of the halachos that I mentioned and what the reasoning behind those are. So, we mentioned that there were three cities of refuge, the Eber Layardin on the other side of the Jordan, and three in Eretz Yisrael proper. So, the Rashi actually brings down the Chazal, the Gemara, that it seems a little bit off to have three on each side, because on Me'ever LaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan, there were only 2.5 tribes there, and in Eretz Yisrael were 9.5. So why would you have an even amount of cities of refuge on each side? So Rashi says, he quotes the Gemara, that even though this was true, the Gemara says they had equal numbers of cities, because in Gilad, Nefishi Rotsen, Gilad was in Menashe, I think, there were a lot of murders. There were many murders, and therefore, he quotes the Pasuk, and therefore they had three cities of refuge on the other side of the Jordan. That's a good question. I thought that they do. I thought that they could, but this question of the Gemara seems to imply that they could not. I'm not sure. I'm leaning towards saying not, but I had thought that they were thought. I'm not, but based on this question, the Gemara is bringing this up. It seems not that way. Also, like why would these three be different than the rest of the of all the Levites thing? What would then they would all be the same? So I'm not. So I think possibly not. So the question though still remains. The Gemara doesn't seem to have answered the question because. So there were a lot of murderers, okay? Are we talking about accidental murderers? Or are we talking about deliberate murderers? Because the Ir Miklat is meant for the accidental murderers. So what do we even mean that to mean accidental murderers? Like, there's more accidental murderers in one place than another. It's an accident, you know? So maybe you'll say they're more negligent, they weren't as careful as possible, or that they didn't have, you know, maybe there was some added protection in Eretz Yisrael, that it wouldn't happen as much by accident. These are possibilities, but the first thing offer other answers to this question. So the Ramban says that two answers. The Ramban says, first of all, it was just as a covenant to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe was there. You know, he was the Aver LaYarden. He never went into Eretz Yisrael, and this was an opportunity for him to establish these three cities. It was a covenant to him to be able to do so, and that's why there were three there, even though maybe it wasn't necessary to have that many. The second idea, also very practical, is that even though there were only 2.5 tribes there, but it was a very large area still. So perhaps even bigger than Eretz Yisrael. So he says, I think it's just a matter of proximity. He doesn't speak out explicitly. The reason, but he said, he just says it's because it was a very big place. But if the point is to be able to run there when you, you know, for protection, so they have to be somewhat, you know, close, you know, every whatever it is, a couple hundred miles. So in that case, since this is a very large area of land, so then just practically speaking, it makes sense to have. That number of Ari Miklat. But really, both of these answers are not going with the Gemara. They're not answering our question on the Gemara. They're really new answers that the Ramban is throwing out, that why were there three? Either it was a covet to Moshe, or because it was a very big land and you needed them to be close. But that doesn't explain the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer was, because there were a lot of murderers there. But our question on that is, how does that answer the question?
Saying
you could swing your shoot or swing your axe because you're not expecting anyone to be there.
Right. So they proportionally less careful than someone who...
Someone in New York City is careful when he, like, raises his arm like that. But it's possible. It's creative. So the Mepharshim, though, gives some very also nice creative answers. So the Das Kanan, the Baal HaTosfos, says as follows, that... Since there were many murderers, so there is a concept that Chazal mentioned, that let's say you have someone murder someone, but there's no witness. So he's supposed to be killed, but there were no witnesses, so he's not going to be killed, right? Or you could have someone who murdered by accident, but there were no witnesses, so he's supposed to go to Galus, but he won't, because nobody knows that he killed by accident. Nobody knows he has to go to Galus. There's no Galus Adam, because nobody knows who was the murderer. So the Gemara says that Hashem arranges for them to meet in. And the one who killed by accident goes on a ladder, and he falls down on the one who killed on purpose and kills him. And so the one who killed on purpose ends up dead, as he's supposed to be. And the one who killed by accident again, this time with witnesses, and this time, and therefore ends up having to go into Gola. That's what the Gemara says. So says the Das Kanim, that's what would be going on here. It's because there were so many murderers, deliberate murderers, but they would also, they would murder without witnesses. So then, Hashem would arrange that all the people who killed by accident, who also need to kill by accident again so that they'll end up in Gala, or even maybe even the first time, when people will kill by accident the first time, it will be to get the murderers, basically. Hashem, you know, arranges it that the people who kill by accident kill the murderers by accident. So since there were so many murderers in deliberate murders, Ne'ever Layarding, so therefore there ended up being also many accidental murderers in order to kill the purposeful murderers. Yeah, in order to that they get what's due for them. Fine. That's the Das Kanim's answer. The Fizkuni also has a interesting answer. It's very much more practical, and it seems to work very well, which is that the halacha is, he says, that somebody who kills on purpose, So they also go to the Yer Miklat until their fate is determined. They run to the Yer Miklat for their fate to be determined. So therefore, because there were many murderers, so they needed a place to run to until their fate was determined. He says, he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara, the Mishnah says in Makos, Barishona echad shogig v'echad mezig golo sham. The Gemara, the Mishnah says that at the beginning, whether you're shogig, whether it's accidental, whether it's on purpose, you go into Golos, you go there, and at the beginning, and then once they determine your judgment, so then either you get sent out, if you're chayav misa, you get killed, and if you're not chayav misa, then you're let go. But you still spend your first... you know, that's where you wait, is in the Yer Miklat. So therefore, very practical answer, since there were many murderers there, so they needed lots of Ari Miklat, because even those who killed the Mezid, those people who killed deliberately, would need a place to hang out while their fate was being determined. One other, also interesting answer, is offered by, the Netziv brings this from of Itzalami Velazhin, that the reason why they needed the law, it's kind of similar to what the Ramban said, that it's a matter of proximity, of being able to get there. But the reason why they needed a place that was very close, specifically in Me'ever Layarding, is because there were so many murderers. So people knew, you know, people were trained in the arts of murder, of killing, and weapons, and so that made the Goel Hadam that much more dangerous, because they were experienced they'll get their man. So you have to get him to the Yer Miklat very fast. In order to get him to the Yer Miklat very fast before the Goel Hadam's got to them, so they had to have them make sure there were plenty of Ari Miklat to run to. So even though it was disproportionate, but they needed to have more. Fine. So that's with regard to the three on each side. So one more point to get to is the Kohen Gadol. Why do you go three when the Kohen Gadol dies. So we mentioned already the Rambam shot, which was that this idea that, you know, because everyone else is sad at that time, and so it's an ideal time to let him go, because then the family also won't be as sad to see the, you know, to be reminded of the death of their family member, because everybody's suffering right now because the Kohen Gadol just died, the Gadol Adar. The Gemara says a reason which isn't so clear exactly how it works. You know, the Gemara just says that it's because, interesting thing, that the it's kind of by putting it, making it dependent on the Kohen Gadol, it's kind of laying the blame at his feet. That the reason why this murder, accidental murder, happened is the Kohen Gadol's fault. Because the Gemara says, he should have davened on behalf of his people, and apparently he didn't, or he didn't daven hard enough. So the accidental murder that occurred is his fault, and again, it's not clear what the, I guess what we're saying basically is, when, as long as he's alive, so we're still blaming him for this in a way, and therefore the guy has to remain in the Eir Mikvot, but once he's passed on, so then the person who's responsible in some way is dead, so now we can let the murderer is allowed to go free.
The Kohen Gadol is somehow responsible for this murder, or for the accidental murder. Shouldn't he go along with the Rebbe?
Yeah, it's a good question. So yeah, so I'm not entirely sure.
I guess he's responsible for the state of affairs. Not for his death.
That's not a problem. Yeah,
was the death of the Kohen Gadol the only way to appoint a successor to Kohen Gadol? Because didn't they have a Kohen Gadol for war?
Yeah, so actually the Gemara, the Mishnah does say that if any of those Kohen Gadol dies, he would go free. The Mishnah says, they even have it here somewhere. According to one opinion, at least, even the Meshuach Melchama, even the Kohen is just appointed to go to war, to read the Psukim and, you know, tell people they could go back. That guy, also, if he dies, that's at least according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. The Bechar Shar, very Shar oriented, suggests that the reason why we wait till the death of the Kohen Gadol is we don't know how long this guy was going to live. The guy who got killed, right? We have no idea how long he was supposed to live. So, and it seems like he's assuming, and the Gullus should match however long the expected lifespan of the departed was. That's how long the guy should be in Gullus for. But we don't know how long that was. Says the Bechar Shar, we'll base it on whatever, however long the Kohen Gadol lived. He's an Adam Chashuv, and the, you know, he says Mistama, you know, it would seem the person wouldn't live longer than the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol is serves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such an important position. And so we determine how long the person should have lived is basically, however, not longer than the Kohen Gadol lived. And if that's so, that's how long the Gaulus, the exile, will be. Now, of course, the Kohen Gadol could be very old, you know, and die soon, or could be very young, much younger than the other guy, but that's the basic framework, and then we just apply in every situation, but it's based on, the root of the idea is that concept. Yeah, different. There are other reasons offered, but I want to just have time for one more thought. If I have time, I don't really have time. So actually, I'm gonna hold it there, and I can share the thought with you another time.